W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Marina Roy. Prosecutors in Ventura County, California, detailed the charges filed against suspect Loe Alnaji in the death of Paul Keller, a 69-year-old Jewish man at dueling protests over the Israel-Hamas war. District Attorney Eric Nasarenko says the involuntary manslaughter and battery charges stem from an altercation between the men.
Accompanying each of these felony counts is a special allegation that in the commission of those crimes, the defendant personally inflicted great bodily injury upon Paul Kessler.
Israel has agreed to allow two trucks of fuel each day into Gaza, earmarked by the UN to power Gaza's water and sewage systems. Israeli forces are still carrying out operations at the Al-Shifa medical complex. They say they found two dead hostages in the area. President Biden closes out the APEC summit in San Francisco. Earlier, the president signed the continuing resolution passed by Congress this week to avert a government shutdown. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senator Tammy Baldwin says Congress has a chance to pass a bipartisan budget now that a federal government shutdown has been averted again, although she says she's disappointed aid for Ukraine and Israel were taken out.
I hope that as soon as we return to session the week after next, that we can immediately take up the emergency funding for humanitarian relief and for Ukraine and for Israel.
The stopgap bill would keep the government funded until early February. Amtrak plans to double its service from the Twin Cities through Wisconsin to Chicago. Starting next year, Amtrak will add a second daily round trip. Federal and state agencies and the railroads are working out the details. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Gun deer season opens tomorrow. Here with some important safety tips is Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Preparation is key to having a successful and safe hunting season. DNR Lieutenant Conservation Warden Brian Lockman stresses the importance of letting someone know who's in your hunting party and where you're hunting.
And the more detailed you are on where you're planning on a hunt will improve the time it takes for emergency response personnel to get to you if needed.
Dress in layers, have a small first aid kit, bring your cell phone, and maintain proper hydration and nutrition. Brian said tree stand safety is one of the ways hunters get injured every year.
So make sure the trees are good order, your equipment's in good order. Whenever you leave the ground, you have your five-point harness on and a lifeline going up and down the tree.
Your well-being should always be the top priority. Have a plan, share your plan, and adhere to safety guidelines.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
It's the Packers against the Chargers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-6 Packers host the 4-5 Chargers Sunday at Lambeau Field. Former offensive tackle Brian Bulaga is in town and says he wants to retire as a Packer. Bulaga played for both Green Bay and the Chargers. Kickoff at noon, game time weather pretty good for the middle of November. Sunshine and 45. Although Green Bay has struggled with this young roster, one player is having a great rookie season. Jaden Reed's stats are getting close to another receiver, Sterling Sharp. I asked Reed, what's the key to preparing for these games?
Getting a better feel for the offense, understand my job, and just, you know, study your opponent, know what they do, and, you know how to attack them.
College football, the Badgers hope to snap a 3-game losing streak when they host Nebraska 6:30 tomorrow night in Madison. Badgers running back Braylon Allen trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. Will he be able to play?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 30 tonight under clear skies. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunny skies. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 51. Clear skies and quiet again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 30. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 42.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit in my mouth. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network. From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Fighting traffic on the interstates. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK. Fighting traffic on the interstates.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, a very curious thing is happening right now. Governor Evers just signed a bill giving a raise to the state patrol and to some of the building trades work for the state. They will get 4% this year and 2% next year, total of 6% raise. The 35,000 state workers will not get a raise, any raise. That's about half of all state workers will not get any raise, because they work for the UW system, the University of Wisconsin system. Here is the background, and here's what I think should happen. The background is that raises were authorized in legislation earlier this year for all public employees that are employed by the state, all of them. And it was 4% the first year and 2% the next year. The Republicans are taking the position that they can have a committee decide whether or not to further authorize those raises for UW employees, and they have said they will not trigger them, not let them be paid, until the state either gets rid of any position that has to do with diversity, equity, and inclusion, or turns over diversity, equity, and inclusion to Robin Voss and LeMahieu, which, what do you think will happen? The regents and the president of the university have said that would be a form of legislative control that's unacceptable. This DEI business, just so you know, and I'll give you a little quick snapshot of it, may not be what you think it is, and there's nothing wrong with it. What they're trying to do is make sure that the university overall is welcoming to everybody, that there isn't discrimination. Let me tell you something. When I went to the UW Law School, graduated in 1975, so there's in the early 70s, it's a magnificent law school, terrific classmates, it's a wonderful education, terrific faculty. But among the students was a fellow who was Native American, and he was the only one in the class. And I remember talking to him, and I got friendly with him. He's a very nice guy. And he said, you know, it feels kind of isolating here. And nobody's talking about any of issues that I think are important, like rights of Indians, indigenous rights, and all that. And he felt very much socially isolated, not deliberately by anybody, but the idea is that the university and all universities learned after that, and they make people feel welcome. That's all. It's a human thing, and I think it's a good thing. But what the legislature has done is really penalize families, penalize communities. I was talking to one of the chancellors of one of the universities in the system who told me that they're finding it hard to retain employees because they can't pay them anywhere near the way private industry does. In other words, some of the, you know, some private industry, like the Uline Corporation or maybe Amazon, are paying 20 some odd bucks an hour, or even higher, even 30 an hour in some cases. And these university system employees are being offered in some cases 10 or 15 an hour. And so a lot of them would rather work for the university, but at some point you can't make that kind of a sacrifice. The chancellor told me that it really is hurting the families. It's hurting the families of these employees and hurting them very, very badly. Some of the initiatives that were just signed into law also give a $5 an hour raise for all employees other than UW employees. And also things like, for instance, increasing the maximum allowance for protective shoes from $40 to $60 a year. Well, what kind of shoes can you get for 60 bucks a year? But why should UW people who maybe have jobs that could present a danger to their feet not get shoes like that too? They also, these others, get 8% increase on meal and lodging reimbursements. The purpose of doing this, there has been an attack on the university system for a long time. My dad was a professor at UWM for 34 years. It's a wonderful job. It's a wonderful university. But over time, there was a concept in the Republican Party back in the 80s called Star of the Beast. And if they wanted to shut down something, they just wouldn't authorize any money. And you're starting to see that, and it's having an impact. Before I go to the lines, I see you in the lines. Here is what I would recommend to everybody. First of all, call your assemblyman or state senator, even if he's not your party, even if he's a Republican and you're a Democrat, even if he's a Democrat and you're a Republican. Flood them with calls. Just say, look, I don't want to get in the weeds on any issues, but what you do by penalizing the families of good workers in this state is wrong. It's counterproductive. It's hurting towns. Have them get the raise and figure out another way to change DEI if that's what you want to do. Secondly, if you know a businessman, small business or businesswoman, small, medium, large, talk to them and have them call the Republican legislators. They will listen to their calls. Tony Evers has started a lawsuit based on separation of powers, saying that these raises were already authorized by the legislature earlier this year, so they can't build in a second layer of permission. And if the court agrees with them, then they'll get the raises, and probably retroactively. But in the meantime, it's injecting an awful lot of uncertainty into the economy and into our university system. So what you can do is call your legislature, even if it's a different party. Even if you're a Democrat, he's a Republican, be courteous. Say you can deal with DEI some other way, but do not continue to withhold raises from half the employees in this state. Jack of Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, as you said, it's pretty clear the Republican agenda part of it has been destroy public education as much as you possibly can. Turn everything over to private education, for-profit education, religious education, you name it, anything except supporting public education. And it starts with you know, denying any kind of subsidies out of $3.5 billion left in our surplus for child care, which can include preschool child care. And it goes up through the grade schools, the high schools, and the university level. This DEI stuff Yeah, it's a little insight, our base type of approach. But the reality is they just don't want any public education. And Trump said it himself. I love the poorly educated, and that's because those who are poorly educated don't have any critical thinking skills. They simply can react to these highly emotional topics. As far as the DEI goes, that's an appeal to racism, and it's pretty solidly obvious that that's what they're doing with their base. So, but in fact, they don't give a rip one way or the other about that. The main thing is tear down public education. We can't get school college loans either approved or forgiven for a lot of our students. My son relatively recently graduated from UW-Eau Claire, just the tuition alone, $50,000. So again, they're trying to raise the cost of education out of the reach of the ordinary person, and they're trying to break down as much true public education as possible. End of my tirade for the day.
Yeah, Jack, excellent call. And let me tell you a few anecdotes, but then also what I'm going to suggest is when I went to the UW Law School in the early 70s, and yeah, I'm an in-state resident, you know what my tuition was for a semester? $250 a semester, $500 for the year. And I'm told by people 10 years older than I am in the early 60s, it was $100 a semester. And in New York City, the City College of New York in the old days was free. Ideally, we'd have that. Now, I also understand there are economic issues. And I will also tell you that the best bargain in the world is the tuition at any one of the UW campuses. But having said that, they could be lower. They absolutely could be lower. Right now, the state pays about 17% of the operating costs of the UW system. Back when I was there, it was probably in the 40s somewhere. In Colorado, it's 5%. So I would like to see them increase that kind of subsidy for college, number one. Number two, what about the engineering school? Why wasn't the engineering school funded? It would have cost $300 million to the state, but private interests were going to pay the other $300 million. It's a $600 million project. That was not included in the budget that the Republicans sent. And that's just plain wrong. Plain wrong. Carol Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Carol?
Well, back to the university. What I wanted to say was, you know, they don't want to fund the university, and supposedly, you know, they're so anti-university, and yet they put through that bill about the top 10% of all high school graduating seniors should be able to get into any UW school, and the top 5% should be able to get into UW-Madison. You know, there's some hypocrisy there when you're looking at them wanting to guarantee.
Right. Carol, if you can, Carol, stay on the line. Calvin, I want you to keep Carol on the line and put her on immediately. We have to go to some other topics, but we'll get back very shortly, and you'll be the first caller. Stay on the line.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Greenfield. Visit RobertHackDiamonds.com.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Well, she's fashionably. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we're going right to the lines. Carol of Madison, again, thank you for your call. And I'd like to continue our discussion. You were talking about this bill where certain people who are in the top X percentage of the class get to be admitted. Please tell us what you think about that.
Well, I just think it's hypocritical that the lawmakers want to guarantee spots in the UW system for our resident high school graduates, but that they don't want to fund the UW system adequately. And somebody's telling them that they want their kids to be able to go to the UW, but the legislators don't seem to care about the UW because they don't want to fund it adequately. So I'm confused.
That's a very good point. That had not occurred to me. Carol is correct. They have passed some legislation that says that you're right, the top 10% get to go, and maybe it is the top 5 or a little percent get to go to Madison. And that's not uncommon. You'll see that in some other states for their state universities. But what I'd like to focus on here is, as well, 35,000 employees, about half of the state employees in the state, of any state employees, represent employees for the UW system. 35,000, they're not getting a raise. It badly impacts their families. It badly impacts retention. It badly impacts the ability of Wisconsin to retain some of the faculty and some of the senior staff and some of any staff and get other jobs. It reminds me of a tactic that is done at the federal level, like with Tommy Tuberville saying he will not permit senior officers to be promoted, denying the rank and file troops the leadership they need to protect them when they're in combat. And then also the Republicans saying they're going to shut down the government and not pay people. Because when they say that you're not going to pay people, it's not that anybody who's wealthy is going to care very much. But the vast majority of the military, for instance, are, say, corporals, seamen apprentices, you know, 19, 20, 21-year-olds, sometimes frequently with a wife and an infant, living on the base while they're off on a ship or on, frankly, with a Marine detachment, facing real danger, and yet that wife and kid are not going to get a paycheck. That is a tactic to achieve some sort of social change that they find desirable is simply wrong. And frequently it's a social change that's ill thought out and it's not really well informed. So in the case of Wisconsin of DEI, it's always demonized as a bad thing. And it may be that in some places they go over the top and it's something different, but that's not true in Wisconsin. You know, our state is a common sense state and a hardworking state. And it just ensures that kids from different backgrounds aren't bullied, basically. Well, like my friend who is a Native American student with me at the UW Law School in the early 70s, he was the only one in the class. He felt totally isolated. I befriended him and we did things together and we all hung out with other law students. But it'd be a terrible thing to be in a minority in an environment like that and feel somehow that, you know, you didn't fit in. That's what it's about. But there are a lot of other ways for the Republicans to make their point on it. They could bring separate legislation to get rid of DEI positions. That would have to go through public hearings. It would have to be looked at by people in both parties and by the governor, and there would be a resolution that I think ended up could satisfy everybody. So I want to leave this subject by just urge everybody to call your legislator. They pay attention to numbers of calls. They'll ask their staffers, how many calls do we get on this? And they get uneasy if they get a lot of calls. And then secondly, with regard to Republican legislators, call them. But if you know a local businessman or anybody in business, talk to them, lobby them and say, look, this isn't right. They'll agree with you, by the way. Just say, call the legislator. Just tell them, find another way to get some kind of resolution of this DEI issue. And I think if we do that, we are going to really immeasurably help the state. Well, I'll tell you something. This is unbelievable. In New York, the judge, an appellate judge, the judge in New York, Endogan, had protected his clerk by issuing a gag order that saying Trump couldn't attack the clerk. He had posted her picture so millions of people saw it, threatened her safety. He was told to take it down. He said he had. He took it down from his social media post, but he left it up on his website where more millions saw it. He still wasn't put in jail. You and I have been put in jail for that kind of sneakiness. Well, now a state court, an appellate judge who has jurisdiction over this, because Trump appealed the gag order, said he had a First Amendment right to threaten the clerk. The appellate judge stayed the order. In other words, it says the gag order will not be in effect until they hear oral argument on November 29. November 29 is 12 days away. In the meantime, immediately when it was stayed, the judge attacked the clerk again, the clerk, jeopardizing her safety. And he said, put out a statement, quote, the judge's ridiculous and unconstitutional gag order for not allowing me to defend myself against him and his politically biased and out of control Trump-hating clerk who is sitting next to him and his court and taking them to a new levels of low. Then in his appeal, and this is very sneaky, I want to give you the background on this. In his appeal in the papers, he put pictures of the clerk. That was unnecessary. And named her in numerous court filings. What is the purpose of that? A court filing is public. So even though there's a gag order, if you have it in the filing, it's not under seal, people can read it. So he files it. And even if Letitia James had gone in immediately for an order to seal it, it suddenly went out all over the internet with her picture this time. She's a woman in New York, has to go home at night on the subway after dark. Trump is a cruel and vicious individual. He's not an affable sort of happy-go-lucky nut. He's a cruel, vicious individual by putting the picture now of the clerk, not on his website, not on anything else, but in the pleadings themselves, which are public documents that are then broadcast around the country. And then the minute the appellate judge stayed the gag order, he went on the attack, instructing his followers what to do. And unlike Mitt Romney, who pays, what, $5 million a year for security, she doesn't have that kind of money. This is a cruel and vicious thing to do. What's coming up? A lot is coming up. There's news, there's weather. And why is the Republican Party about to sue the state of Arizona? 20th century Fox, she 20th century
Fox. Mino and the Mayor in the morning, and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Pacific Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Flu, COVID-19, and RSV are on the rise in Wisconsin. Health officials are urging people to get vaccinated. The Department of Health Services says hospital admissions for flu and RSV nearly doubled this week from last week. COVID-19 hospitalizations are also up slightly this month. Fewer than 1 in 4 people in Wisconsin have had the flu shot, and only 9% have had this year's COVID booster. Environmentalists are urging Governor Evers to stop a land swap to create a new luxury golf course on the shore of Lake Michigan. Two groups say the proposed exchange would set a bad precedent for state parks and protected lands. The plan would take 5 acres from the Kohler Andre State Park. Opponents say it would damage the shoreline environment. Supporters say a new golf course would bring economic development. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Two Northeast Wisconsin businesses each received an award for recycling excellence. Town of Calumet in Fond du Lac and the Richardson Retail Store in Sheboygan were recognized by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources in honor of America Recycles Day. The Wisconsin DNR honors businesses that reduce waste through partnerships, community engagement, and implementing systems and equipment to achieve and promote recycling goals. For more information on recycling in Wisconsin, please visit the Wisconsin DNR webpage. The Brown County Board of Supervisors is accepting applications for an open seat in Alloway. County officials say Supervisor Morgan Fuller is resigning at the end of the year. If selected, the applicant would be eligible to serve the rest of Fuller's term, which is up in 2024. Those interested should contact the Brown County Board of Supervisors and submit an application before November 22nd at 4:30 p.m. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's the Packers against the Chargers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The 3-6 Packers host the 4-5 Chargers Sunday at Lambeau Field. Former offensive tackle Brian Bulaga is in town and says he wants to retire as a Packer. Bulaga played for both Green Bay and the Chargers. Kickoff at noon, game time weather pretty good for the middle of November. Sunshine and 45. Although Green Bay has struggled with this young roster, one player is having a great rookie season. Jaden Reed's stats are getting close to another receiver, Sterling Sharp. I asked Reed, what's the key to preparing for these games?
Getting a better feel for the offense, understand my job, and just, you know, studying your opponent, know what they do, and, you know how to attack them.
College football. The Badgers hope to snap a 3-game losing streak when they host Nebraska 6:30 tomorrow night in Madison. Badgers running back Braylon Allen trying to come back from a high ankle sprain. Will he be able to play?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows level off around 30 tonight under clear skies. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunny skies. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 51. Clear skies and quiet again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 30. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 42.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Why is the Republican Party threatening to sue Arizona? Why are they threatening to sue election officials in Arizona? They're very afraid of something that's about to happen. Believe it or not, there's a party called the Patriot Party. Believe it or not, the Patriot Party believes in things that basically the Freedom Caucus believes in, far right of the Republican Party. The Patriot Party is dissatisfied with the Republican Party. They don't think they're pure enough. They don't think they are right-wing enough. So they are filing to get on the ballot in a number of states, which I think is very good news, from my perspective. They have filed, got enough signatures in Arizona. The Republican Party has gone to great expense to hire people to look at the signatures. And they claim that some of these signatures are no good for a variety of different reasons. This happens with nomination papers all the time. You can, for instance, have a married couple. One of them puts their address down and the other one doesn't put their address down because they're married to that person. They live at that address. You can also have forged signatures, which is rare. Or you can have signatures that don't show what county it's from and so forth. Everybody in politics scrutinizes the nomination papers of their opponent, trying to find the holy grail. In other words, pages and pages of signatures with the same handwriting and all that. Well, from what I've read, it doesn't appear that that's what happened with the Patriot Party. It appeared that it would be what you and I would call normal, non-material glitches in terms of information provided, but easily obtainable. If the Republican National Committee is unsuccessful, and if the Patriot Party gets certified as a party in Arizona, you're going to have a real hodgepodge of candidates. So you'll have Kyrsten Sinema, for instance, for Senate, who was a Democrat, is now an independent. And she basically votes for the Democrats most of the time. She angers us, for instance, by not supporting voting right, the Right Voting Rights Act, not supporting getting rid of the carried interest taxation rule that exempts hedge fund owners from hedge fund operators from paying income taxes. She is in the hip pocket of the pharmaceutical companies, of hedge funds, and she won't go for the Voting Rights Act. She won't suspend the filibuster. So a lot of Democrats are fed up with her. Ruben Gallego, the guy I like, he's a Democratic congressman, is running. And Carrie Lake, if you remember, when I first saw Carrie Lake, I thought, you know, she reminded me of a hostess in a hospitality suite. I mean, then she started saying, I'm going to run for what, governor? She was an anchor in Phoenix on the TV station. That was it. Now she's running, and she's an election denier. She's obviously pro-Trump. Now she's running for the Senate. So the point is plurality wins down there. Plurality wins. So if you have Kyrsten Sinema, Ruben Gallego, Carrie Lake, and some guy from the Patriot Party walking in a black cowboy hat and tight jeans, swinging a lasso, which is well regarded in some circles in Arizona. That's terrific. That's terrific. He will take away votes from Carrie Lake, just as Kyrsten Sinema may take away votes from Ruben Gallego. And who knows what's going to happen? It's going to be the gunfight at the OK Corral. But that is what is going on. And it'll be very interesting. You know, the Republican Party talks a good game, and they talk both sides of their mouth. I mean, here they very, very much want Robert Kennedy Jr. to be in the race for president. They hope Joe Manchin gets in on the no labels ticket. You know, Jill Stein just filed, believe it or not, unfortunately. This Cornell, I forget his last name, professor, the chip on his shoulder. They're going to be more weirdos than you can shake a stick at, quite frankly. And the contest should be Trump against Biden. But just like in the Senate race in Arizona, it's going to be a lot more than that. And in a way, a lot more interesting than that. But there's a Chinese saying that I've always enjoyed. And it goes like this. It says, may you live in uninteresting times. May you live in uninteresting times. Because interesting times can also be violent times. There's a lot of other things going on. One that I was really glad to see, we have a new candidate for Congress in Virginia, whom I have a high opinion of. It's Eugene Vindman, Alexander Vindman's brother, running for Abigail Spanberger's seat in Congress in Richmond, Virginia. Now, Abigail Spanberger was the person, who beat the right-wing Republican nut, who had in turn beaten Majority Leader Cantor, who has slated to be the new speaker. This is going back some years. And then he took it too lightly, and this right-wing nut beat him in the Republican primary, went on to be the congressman, and really a bad guy. Abigail Spanberger, our person, is a former CIA agent, very pro-military, and she was great. She came in and beat the guy, beat the nut. She's held that seat for us. But, you know, Richmond, Virginia was the capital of the Confederacy. You understand that. I took depositions down there, and they have a street called Monument Row. And now, they've taken a lot of these monuments down, but when I took the depositions, it was probably 12, 13 years ago. And you drive down Monument Avenue, and there are all these guys on horseback, you know, Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. And, you know, I mean, it's right there in front of God and everybody. And she was the congressman down there. So obviously it's changing. Now, Eugene Vindman, you remember Alexander Vindman? Alexander Vindman was he was a colonel of Ukrainian descent. He's up for colonel of Ukrainian descent, American citizen, who is a national security advisor in the NSA in Donald Trump's NSA. And he blew the whistle on Trump's attempt to blackmail Zelensky and have him open a fraudulent investigation of Joe Biden. And Vindman was great, and he provided testimony to the impeachment committee. And ultimately, Trump was impeached, but when it went to the House or the Senate, the only Republican who voted to convict him was Mitt Romney, and required 67 senators. So it required about 16 more, and we didn't get it. But vindictively, this is Alexander Vindman, vindictively, Trump fired him. And even more vindictively, he had a twin brother, looks exactly like him, Eugene Vindman, maybe a younger brother, his English is better. But anyway, Eugene Vindman was a colonel, and he fired him too. Now, he's a colonel, you can't just quit out and fire him, but he just relentlessly harassed him, so he had to resign. Well, it's Eugene Vindman, the brother of Alexander, the brother of the guy that testified in the January 6th committee. No, not the January 6th, the impeachment. I'm mixing those up, the impeachment committee. And I've gotten emails from Alexander Vindman, whom I have very high regard for, vouching for his brother, says vote for him for Congress to take over Abigail Spanberger's seat. So keep an eye on that one in Richmond. If we can hold a Democratic seat in Richmond, Virginia, and I think we can with Eugene Vindman, I think we can. I'm very impressed with him. It goes a long way towards increasing our majority in other seats that the Republicans are vulnerable in. In that seat, there's been a lot of focus on military and on the CIA and so on. Abigail Spanberger was a CIA agent formerly. The reason is Virginia has a ton of military bases, a ton of veterans who actually are there on duty. Because remember, one reason why Wisconsin doesn't get much in that regard is look where we're located. Yeah, the Great Lakes, but, you know, they're located right there on the Atlantic Ocean. And there are five naval bases in the Norfolk area. Five bases. I mean, there's Little Creek, the amphibious base, Newport News. There's several others. There's an aviation base. And so let's put it this way. Tommy Tuberville would not do very well in Virginia by not promoting folks. And the military down there has been subject to discrimination, believe it or not. You know, you think, oh, the military is great. I agree, it is great. But down there, back 50, 60 years ago, there were signs on lawns that said, dogs and sailors not allowed. Dogs and sailors not allowed. And what they meant by that was they're very status oriented. You know, the old South, they're unbelievably status oriented. And, you know, if you were a naval officer, especially a flag officer, that was a big deal. But if you were just a common sailor, enlisted man, they didn't want you around and they would come out and say it. So it's important to keep that in mind when you're analyzing military issues and you think you have a grasp on the culture, because there are really a lot of issues there that you may not be familiar with. A good thing happened in Washington, D.C. Good old Tanya Chutkan. I have a lot of admiration for her, just like I have a lot of admiration for Fannie Willis, and I have a lot of admiration for Letitia James. These women have a lot of guts. They are standing up and taking death threats and racial slurs the way a lot of people around the country are not standing up to Donald Trump the way these people are. And anyway, Tanya Chutkan, Trump put in, the guy is unbelievable effrontery. He puts in a motion to eliminate any reference in the indictment of him, the January 6th violence. He said, I have nothing to do with the violence. Tanya Chutkan made short shrift of that. She denied it. She said, it's in the indictment. And when we pick the jury doesn't get to read the indictment, but when we pick the jury, I'll tell you what, we are going to be able to get into any issue that's relevant. Go to the lines. Joe in Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Hey, Matt, thanks for, as always, for the show and the detail that you had. I would just respond to two things. First off, the detail that you just had about soldiers being told dogs and soldiers not allowed. I had an uncle who was a pilot in World War II, incredibly brave, did amazing things in the European theater, worked kind of for the precursor for the OSS in terms of dropping partisans behind enemy lines, just really scary stuff. It was a very tough run of service, and he recalled seeing those same signs that you talked about of, you know, soldiers not allowed in the bars, soldiers not allowed in the business, soldiers not allowed at the hotels. And I think it is amazing during World War II that still existed. So thank you very much for bringing that up. And the second thing I wanted to say is that this is going to sound sort of corny, Matt, but I'm just going to say it. You know, we're about a week away from Thanksgiving, and I just wanted to offer a really hearty thank you to your show and to Civic Media and to all the folks who work there, from Sage Weil on down. You know what Crudy has done pulling this together, too. All the technicians, all the producers, and also the audience that calls on and contributes and offers their insight. It just is so useful to hear from other people around the state and people with very different backgrounds, very different points of view. I just find every day I find that I'm learning something from Civic Media, and I cannot thank you all enough, from Sage Wild to the callers. And so as we rounded the bases to Thanksgiving, I know this is sort of corny, but I wanted to add my two cents that I really appreciate what everyone does. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you so much, Joe. That really means a lot. It means a lot to me, to Calvin, my producer, to Sage, to Mike Crudy, and everyone else. We really appreciate it. We love doing the show, love the callers, and we love the give and take of the callers. Coming up, in the E. Jean Carroll case, believe it or not, yes, it's still there, Trump gets a big defeat.
And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents
who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back to Matt and Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, there's another case involving Donald Trump that we may have forgotten about. We may have forgotten about the E. Jean Carroll case. And you say, wait a minute, he won the E. Jean Carroll case. Or I should say E. Jean Carroll won the case against Trump, didn't she? Yeah, he had to pay her $5 million. But then he went on the air. He went on the air and shot his mouth off, and he defamed her again, said she was lying. Now, how many times does this poor woman, frankly, have to make her point in public about this? It's very, very embarrassing. He went into a dressing room with her and Berghoff Goodman, pretending to... She was supposedly looking for a dress. There's no one around. It was a deserted area of the floor. And he walked in and he threw her up against the wall. This was her testimony. And he did not testify to deny it. He didn't show up at the trial. So her unrefuted testimony, threw him up against the wall, tried to have intercourse with her. She fought him off. So he put his hand up her skirt, into her panties, and penetrated her with his fingers. He took issue with saying, well, that's not rape. And excuse me, it is, by the way, that penetration is rape. The jury came back and ordered that he pay her $5 million, that he pay her $5 million. That's on appeal. He almost immediately, you remember, CNN decided they were going to be kind of moderate. Big mistake. And they had Caitlin, forget her last name, goes on the air and lets him do a town hall, and he rides roughshod over her, and he once again defames E. Jean Carroll. E. Jean Carroll sues him again. This guy is like the timeless teller. He's an ATM machine. He defames you. You grab $5 or $10 million off him, and he does it again. In any event, he tried a sneaky tactic I want to tell you about, and the judge shot him down. And here's what he tried to do. The trial, in case that you have an appetite for trials and love Trump trials, is January 16, 2024. It's coming up 2 months from now. He has what's called an expert witness. An expert witness is somebody who's not a fact witness, but it'll be an economist. It'll be an authority in the field, usually, who will come in to testify about the amount of damages. Because he said what he said. Another jury has already said that he defamed her. But so the guy will say, well, I've looked at all the numbers, and fair damages would be $300,000, not $5 million. That's the kind of thing. Okay. When you have an expert witness, and I had many of them in my experience, and I took depositions of many that were put up by other people. An expert witness is a pain in the neck. It's a lot of detail. Their schedules are very difficult to get scheduled for depositions. So the courts always demand that you name your expert a long period in advance of the trial so you can get rid of fights over what he can say and what he can't say. The deadline for Trump to do it was a year ago. He named an expert who was an absolute rejected by the court. They said, this guy isn't even in the ballpark. He never appointed another expert. Just now, 2 months before trial, he said, I want to name a new expert. Well, that means the trial would have to be delayed well into next year. And the judge knew that there's a trial come up in Washington, D.C., maybe Mar-a-Lago, this guy in Atlanta. Great news. The judge just came out today and said, no way. You were told a year ago was the deadline. You put up somebody that we declared was not competent to be an expert. If you had come to me 8 or 9 months ago or 6 months ago and said, I want another expert, that's something maybe we could have done. But to lie in the weeds a week before Thanksgiving and going into the Christmas season, this expert wouldn't even be able to be deposed till January sometime. This trial would then have to be held in the spring or the summer. You would complain that you have a lot of other trials because you've been indicted 91 times. So no way. Exactly the right ruling, very gutsy ruling. This is a federal judge, not a state judge. If Trump fools around and attacks him, there's some very, very severe consequences. I was very glad to see it. I think he's going to have to just turn around and pay E. Jean Carroll another $5 million, and maybe he'll have the, it'll occur to the guy. He's going to hit on the head twice. Maybe it'll go, I'm not going to go on TV and say she's lying again, because twice I had to pay her a lot of money. Maybe that will be what he does. But he'll appeal again. Maybe he'll try to protect his assets, stick him in Switzerland. This guy's running for president of the United States. Why are we even talking about this? Why are we even talking about this? One thing I was very glad to see Trump Biden did the other day against Trump, he hit him straight on the Nazi thing. He said that he, by using terms like vermin as to his opponents, he is invoking the Nazis. Joe Biden's taking the gloves off. Good for you, Joe. Here is what Trump said, and he said it on Veterans Day. He said it, quote, let's root out the communists, Marxists, fascists, the radical left thugs that live like vermin within the confines of our country, that lie and steal and commit election fraud. And he said that in a Veterans Day rally in New Hampshire. Not anything to thank veterans. He himself's not a veteran. If he were in the Audubon Book of Birds, he would be an orange-tufted, yellow-bellied bed thrasher. That's what he would be. And this guy goes, he's talking about vermin. Talks about vermin in New Hampshire on Veterans Day. Hey, let me tell you something. Bone spurs, Corporal Bone Spurs. You didn't have bone spurs. And frankly, everybody has bone spurs, by the way. Look it up. Google it. It's not a big deal. It doesn't get you out of the military. He had a doctor say his bone spurs are so bad, I've never seen anything like it in my life. Amazing his legs. And he gets out of it. Shortly after that, somebody asked him, what foot was the bone spurs on? He forgot the foot. It was on one of the feet. Well, coming up, news and weather and a great show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crew. Really enjoyed all the calls today, some exceptionally fine calls today. Everybody out there, have a good weekend, getting ready for the Thanksgiving. Matt Flynn Direct will be back, same time, same place, Monday. I'm signing off for today.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW programming, is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Earl Ingram.
clearly at this point what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker. That's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News,